Thanks for checking out the Harvest Valley Church podcast. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are accepted. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages and challenges you. Now here is the Sunday AM message.
I'm just going to preach for a short time because I know we're so rich with ministry already. But I feel like this message is so timely. And last week we talked about the gates. So we're in this series on the gates of Jerusalem and what Nehemiah did in rebuilding those gates. And last week we talked about the inspection gate, which is the gate of warfare, and how it relates to us that we need to be ready. Say ready. We need to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. And then we talked about the old gate, which is the gate of wisdom. Say wisdom. We need to have wisdom. And we talked about before we make decisions, we need to look at the word. We need to ask those godly counsels around it, as well as the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to be talking about the fountain gate. Say the fountain gate. Now, I love this gate because this is a gate where it was a little bit more intensive to rebuild. So let's look at that in Nehemiah 3:15. It says that Shelah, the son of Korhoza, leader of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it, covered it, hung its doors with its bolts and bars, and repaired the wall of the pool of Shelah, which the latter name was called the pool of Siloam, by the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. Now notice, unlike all the other gates we have talked about and the gates that we will talk about, this gate, they did more than just fix the gates. They actually went inside, and it says that they repaired the walls of the pool. So the pool was not this small little detail. There's big significance here. So I want you to understand that, you know, this pool had a purpose. Say purpose. A very strong purpose for the children of Israel. It was actually a national treasure. So just to give you a little backstory, King David, he was the first king that came into Jerusalem. And he built quarters in this area called the King's Gate. And so he lived there for his time. And then all the kings, about 11 others after him. But then when Hezekiah came in, the 13th king of Judah, he decided to improve the quarters behind the King's Gate. And he built a pool. But before he built it, he had to find a water source that would be able to fill the pool and keep it fresh. And so his developers found this spring outside of the city gates. And it's there where they built this underground aqueduct from the springs into the city that was running through the King's Gate. It was so impactful that it affected all of Jerusalem. It became a water source for all Jerusalem. So in honor of this find, in honor of this spring, they shifted from the King's Gate to now it was called the Fountain Gate, in honor of the spring that was found. But not only that, but the pool itself, or excuse me, the tunnel or the aqueduct itself, they honored it by calling it Siloam, or the word sent. Say sent. It means the water was sent to the pool. So now the pool is called Siloam, and the gate, it's called the Fountain Gate. So that's where we get the Fountain Gate. Now, there was more to this pool than just this beautiful water source that they found. There was a significant miracle that took place in this gate. And we find this in 2 Kings chapter 20. And it's here where Hezekiah, during his reign, he becomes deathly ill. He has a boil. The boil is not described where, but gosh, hold on for a second. I got a frog here.
But scholars believe it was a form.
Gosh, man,
I need the healing gate right now. Jesus' name. But the gate actually was part of the pool. And when he had this sickness, he called for the prophet Isaiah. Now, this is powerful. Listen to this. He cried out to God and he said, God, I need you to heal me. This boil was a form of a staph infection that was just ravaging his body. He couldn't get healed from it. And he cried out to God, God, I need you to heal me. And here's what happened next. Notice this. So he cries out to this. And Isaiah, the prophet of the day, came to him and said this. He says, God has heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. Wow. Is that amazing? Talking about healing. Pray for me. How's that? Okay. I've heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. I will heal you. The day after tomorrow, you will go to the Lord's temple. I will add 15 years to your life and rescue you and the city from the king of Assyria. I love this. So here we see that God is saying, I'm going to heal you. But notice there's one more detail to the story. Look at verse 7. It says, then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took a lump of figs and they laid it on the boil and he recovered. Now, what this verse doesn't tell us is that it was known that from there, Hezekiah went to the pool of Siloam and he washed off the figs and the boil was completely healed. Now, the miracle of Hezekiah went out all over the place. And many people looked at it as a miracle of Siloam. But they didn't understand that it was God who healed him because of his prayer. Now, fast forward. I love this, man. In the name of Jesus, I'm keep going. Fast forward, 120 years later, 597 BC, Zedekiah is now the last king of Jerusalem, and he is invaded by the Babylonians. And it's there where you see the Babylonians, they don't just destroy the gates and the walls, but they go after the pool. They go after the Siloam pool because it is a statement, church. It's a statement. They're basically saying, listen, this is where the kings are. This is where their hope is. And we're going to go in and we're going to destroy their hope. So we know later on, 100 years later, Nehemiah rebuilt that gate and the interior. But I want you to see something, the powerful move of God as we go closer to Jesus' time. So then, 500 years later, the Romans come in and they renovate this fountain gate and the pool of Siloam. And they make it, King Herod makes it a public park. He says, hey, this isn't just for kings here. I need to garnish some favor from the people. I'm going to make it a public area. Anyone can dip into the pool of Siloam. Now, keep this all in mind. You got this? You got the story? Say yes. Okay, now let's look at John 9:1. This is where it gets kind of freaky. This is kind of cool. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? Notice verse 3. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the work of God should be revealed. I must work the work of him who sent me while the day, while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. He goes on to say, what's this for? Thank you, honey. All right. Ooh, has a little bit of kick to it. Okay, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he goes on to say, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with his saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. How many know that pool, right? So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay, this is awesome. Here we see Jesus seeing the blind. After he's gone to the temple, he sees a blind man. He bends down. I'm sure he asked permission. He goes, man, I just feel like I need to put this on your eyes. Is that okay? The guy says, yes. He makes some saliva with the dirt. He puts some clay on his eye. And then he says these words, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, at first glance, we look at this story and we say, man, that's a lot of steps for a miracle. Why would God do that? I mean, come on. All the other miracles he did, he kind of did, you know, really quick. Why walk this man through all these details? But now that we know what we know about the pool of Siloam, we could see that Jesus is speaking more than just a simple miracle. It's a prophetic message. It's a prophetic message to us. It's a prophetic message. It was a prophetic message about what his father did to Hezekiah and that he is now the miracle worker. Amen? But it goes beyond that. It's about a message of how God wants to manifest his miracles in the now, in our time. This is why Jesus did this. So this miracle speaks of several things. So we're going to break this miracle down really quick. First of all, we see Jesus, he's not getting caught up in the fact of the why. Say the why. Oftentimes we get caught up in the why. Why? Why did this happen? Why is this person going through this? We get caught up in the why and we forget to focus on, does Jesus want to heal the person? And I love the fact that Jesus is focused on his father and saying, God, what do you want to do for this man? All the disciples are asking the why and he's saying, no, I'm supposed to heal this man. So it teaches us that. The second thing it teaches us is that miracles happen when we trust God at his word. When we trust God at his word. In both Hezekiah's life and the blind man's life, there are the same in a sense. Hezekiah had to take figs and put it on his boil while the blind man had to walk around with clay on his eyes. And both washed themselves off in the pool of Siloam. Why? Why do that? Because these miracles were not in the mud. They weren't in the figs. They weren't in the pool. They were in the obedience. They were in the obedience. They followed through what God had asked them to do. When it comes to our need for miracles and your desire for a miracle for your loved one, we must trust God in the midst of it and what he's asking us to do. Are you willing to pray for that person? Are you willing to pray for yourself? Are you willing to come up to the altar and ask for prayer? Are you willing to fast? If God says this, are you willing not to take the pills? Are you willing not to take the surgery or the procedure? And the other side of it, are you willing to trust the doctors? Are you willing to trust God at his work? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what? Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will do what? He'll direct your path. So my question is, how far will you go for your miracle? Or for that person's miracle, needed miracle. The third lesson the miracle teaches is that Jesus, through Jesus, we have the authority. I love the fact that Hezekiah, He had no problem asking for longer life. Why? Because he was a good king. He knew he would bless his people. And this is his own words. He listened to his own words. Remember, verse 3 of 2 Kings 20. Remember now, O God, I pray, how I walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. He's basically saying, God, give me longer life here so I could be a blessing to those that are around me. I love the authority that he walks in. And is it by chance that both of these men were healed in the king's gate? Come on, before it was the fountain, it was the king's gate. Authority. The Bible's clear. It says, 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That miracle that you need today, whatever it is, mental, spiritual, physical, whatever that is, remind God who you are. You are a child of God. You are a royal priesthood. You are in the king's gate, and you're asking for a miracle. This is what Hezekiah did. He was bold with his prayer, and God answered him through that. I love this other verse, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, amen, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whew. And finally, the last lesson, which is, man, this is so powerful. The last lesson this miracle teaches is that the fountain never runs dry. The fountain never runs dry. When the Babylonians came in and they wrecked the gate and they broke the pool, they could not touch the aqueduct. They could not touch the fountain that was coming right through the fountain gate. Why? Because it was deep. It was deep. And when Nehemiah came in and restored the gate and restored the pool, I tell you, he just had to hook it up back to the fountain. God wants us to see that our lives are built in a similar fashion like Jerusalem. God wants us to see that it's not just Jerusalem, but we have a fountain gate. We have a connection with the Most High. We have the ability to tap into his power, his fresh water. But that fountain is not fresh water. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it never loses its power. It is the mercy seat of Christ that when we call upon the Lord, he shall save. William Copart, 1772, wrote this amazing hymn. We've sung it, I've sung it through my life. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood to lose all their guilty stains. He wants us to tap in. He's saying, you walk into that fountain gate and there is a river that runs to you and it is the blood of Jesus. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Going back to the Babylonians, this is why they attacked the fountain gate. They attacked it because the hope of Israel rested in that area. It was where the kings were. It was where the miracle was. It was where their fame was. And they wanted to say, we want to destroy the hope of Israel. And the best way we could do it is not just destroy the gate, but wreck the pool that everyone's excited about. In the same way, the devil attacks us relentlessly in our gate, doesn't he? He attacks us with shame, guilt, condemnation. He throws on us disappointment to the point where, if not careful, we could just give up on the fountain. It's like, I'm not worthy of the fountain. I'm not worthy of it. But just as Israel did with the Babylonians, they could not touch the fountain. They could not touch it. The fountain still ran from the spring into the city. In the same way, the devil can't touch your fountain. He can't touch the blood of Jesus Christ that right now is flowing towards you. All we have to do is tap into it for our healing, for our deliverance, for our redemption. We just have to tap into it. Isaiah, I want to close with this. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Come on, as I'm talking about it, I'm getting healed. So good. Listen to this. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, if I could have you, the worship team, come ahead. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come near to me. Come on, church. I want you to receive. Let's stand. There is history that is for us. From the very beginning of the Jerusalem's build to the present, God has been trying to get the body of Christ's attention. And he's saying, listen, there is a fountain. There's a fountain gate. There is a river that flows underneath the fountain. Underneath the gate. And it's going straight to the Pool of Siloam. And it's that gate. And it's that river that we look at it spiritually and say, that is my river. Because of you, Jesus, dying on the cross for my sins and me accepting your sacrifice, I now have access into the mercy seat of Christ to receive the fountain that never loses its power. If you are in need of that fountain today, simply call upon the name of Jesus Christ. You might have lost hope today. All the guilt, all the shame that has been piling on your life and the disappointment, and the devil has dissuaded you, saying, you know, it's not working. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You don't have it. And you just fight back and you say, no, there is a fountain that is flowing from the seat of grace, from Jesus Christ, and it flows to me. And all I have to do is tap into it, and I will be saved. I will be healed. For those that are in need of healing, just bow your heads right now. You need healing today. Maybe you, not you, but you're standing in proxy for someone that is in dire straits. They need a healing in their physical body. Maybe they're mentally broken. And they need a healing. Just know this. Call upon, like Hezekiah did, call upon the name of God and say, God, I need your healing today. I need your deliverance today. Come to me right now. I tap into your flood. I tap into your fountain, for it's for my life. Maybe you need forgiveness today. It's the same fountain. It's the same blood. Tap into it. It never loses its power. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I turn my life to you. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. It's that simple. Leanne, I really feel like that song that you sang, I did not know what you were going to sing. But that song, the grace, that is so powerful. And I want us to just take this in to build our faith. And then I'll close in just a few moments. Listen, if
If you this morning need to tap into that blood, I want you to come forward. There's an anointing here of healing, of wholeness. And just take that step of faith and say, you know what? I'm going to stand under the fountain. Amen. I'm going to receive what I need to receive today. Come on, if that's you, just come to the front.
Thanks for your support. Harvest Valley Church in Pleasanton has a passion to teach and equip people from various journeys of life through the love and grace of Jesus. If you want to connect with us, join us online at harvestvalley.org or on our Facebook page. Thanks for stopping by.